Today's daf is Nedarim daf Lamed Aleph. We are holding at the Mishnah on the top of daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. The Mishnah is going to talk about a person takes a neder from either people who are Shovsei Shabbos or people who are Ochlei Shum or people who are Olei Yerushalayim, and the implication is that he's taking a neder from Jews. And we're going to talk about each of these phrases and how they mean Jews, and whether they necessarily exclude non-Jews, and whether they exclude Kutim or not. And the next Mishnah, the second Mishnah on the page, there are several Mishnahs in today's daf on Omer Aleph. The second Mishnah is going to talk about someone who makes a neder mi b'nei Noach. So who's including b'nei Noach? After all, Avram Avinu also descended from Noach, so maybe Jews should also be included in b'nei Noach. Now we're going to talk about people who take a neder from Zera Avraham. Does Zera Avraham mean only Jewish people, or does it mean the b'nei Esav, the b'nei Ishmael? Are they also included in Zera Avraham? The Mishnah, the next Mishnah is going to talk about Mekach Lememker, when there's a neder Hana'ah. If you have a neder, you're not allowed to get Hana'ah from somebody. Are you allowed to buy things from him? Are you allowed to sell things to him? How do you work out the pricing in order to make sure that there's no Isra Hana'ah? And the Gemara is going to discuss who's considered to be the one that is nehene when it comes to a purchase, when it comes to a deal. Sometimes it would seem that the lokeach is the one that's nehene, sometimes the mocher, sometimes they're both equally nehene. Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about what exactly the person takes a neder from an orel, what that comes to include. Is that just a reference to non-Jews, or does it refer to even Jewish arelim? And once we're on the topic of an Arel, the Mishnah is going to talk about how terrible Arla is, the Arla, the foreskin being left there is, and the great Maila of Bris Mila. In fact, the Mishnah is going to identify six different Mailos of Bris Mila, and then the Gemara is going to talk about how Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for failure to give his son a Bris Mila in a timely fashion. And we'll discuss that episode where Moshe Rabbeinu almost died. So let us begin with Daf Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph, Mishnah on the top of the page says the Mishnah, Hanoder mi Shovsei Shabbos, a person takes a neder from Shovsei Shabbos. People who keep Shabbos are not, he's not allowed to get Hana'ah from. So Asur be Yisrael, ve Asur be Kutim. Not only is he Asur to get Hana'ah from Yisrael, he's also Asur be Kutim. That's how the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Nedarim Perek Tes Halacha Chaf. Now it's interesting, the Meiri writes that once the Kutim have an interesting history. For a while, Kutim, there was a machlokas, whether they're Geri Arayos or Geri Emes, whether they're considered to be legitimate converts or not. But at a certain point, they found a Demus Yonah Bahar Grizim that the Kutim made, and Avodah Zarah that the Kutim made in Har Grizim, and when the Chum treated them like Goyim, called over at that point. That's clear in the Gemara Chulin of Zayin Amralf, and that's what the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Avodah and Perek Vav Alach Vav and Perek Ches Alach Hey, that the din of Kutim is like Goyim Gemurim. So this whole din of our Mishnah is only that if a person takes a neder from Shovsei Shabbos, that he's also even Bekutim, is only if you're going to assume that Kutim are Gerei MS, before we started treating them like Goyim. So Bizman HaZed, that Kutim are really like Goyim, and some of those know their Mishovsei Shabbos, should for sure be Mutter Bekutim, because the Kuti is a Goy. So asks the Meiri, I don't understand, how can the Rambam Paskin Allah in our Mishnah, if after all, the Rambam also Paskins, like we Paskin in the end of the day, that Kutim are Goyim. So how can he Paskin that Kutim are included in the Yisr of Shovsei Shabbos? And the Meiri doesn't really answer for the Rambam. He says, yeah, Kasro Derech Shitva, the Rambam wrote this just sort of matter-of-factly as he was copying over the Mishnayos and writing over the Halachas. He wrote this Halacha as well, but it wasn't really so, he wasn't so medayik over here, which if we know the nature of the author a little bit, that doesn't sound like the Rambam at all to not be so medayik. Karen Ora suggests that even though we made them a kigayim l'chol davar, but you have to remember, by Nedarim, the principle, the guiding principle by Nedarim, is halacha achar lashon b'nei adam, that we always follow the way people refer to whatever people mean by something. So it could be that when a person says Shovsei Shabbos, he means kutim, even though ain't a chinami, kutim are in fact goyim. Says the Mishnah further, now may ochle shum, if a person takes a neder from people who eat garlic, and that's apparently a reference to Jewish people, asur be Yisrael, va'asur be kutim, he's asur to both Jews and to kutim. May ole Yerushalayim, if he takes a neder from people who go up to Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Regalim, Asr b'Yisrael, he's Asr b'Yisrael, but Mutar b'Kutim. He's allowed to get enough from Kutim. Kutim are not considered Ola Yerushalayim. What's this business with Ochle Shum, with eating garlic? So Tosos over here writes that it's a din of Yisrael, because Yisrael has there's Takanas Ezra, that a Jew is supposed to eat garlic on the Erev Shabbos, and the Kutim are shown the Takana of eating garlic on Erev Shabbos. They observe that takana. What was the purpose of that takana? Because it's assumed that garlic promotes zera. And since Tamil Chacham is Merav Shabbos, Lerav Shabbos, a man's going to be sleeping with his wife that night, and we're hoping that they're going to be able to conceive a child. So the garlic promotes the possibility of conception. Toz Yontif wonders, why is it that the Rambam doesn't quote this halacha? Rambam quotes the other part of the Mishnah, doesn't quote this halacha. So the Rashash writes that how did the Toz Yontif not realize that the Rambam left out the entire Takanas Ezra of Achilas Shum? So the Rashash says, I don't understand Toz Yontif's kasha. He's bothered. Why does the Rambam leave out this halacha? The Rambam doesn't even quote the whole Takanas Ezra of eating garlic on Erev Shabbos. So mainly he's not going to quote this din in the Mishnah, because he holds that it's not a Jewish thing to eat garlic tafka on Erev Shabbos. Not only that, the Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Deos writes that a person should eat very little garlic in his life, and during the summertime shouldn't eat any garlic at all. He understood that it wasn't so healthy. So you have to say that the Takanas Ezra was only for that time of the period of Ezra, but it's not a Takana, according to the Rambam, that's a lasting Takana at all. It's interesting, in the Maisa Rav HaChadosh, it says that the Gra was careful about this Takanas Ezra to eat garlic in Erev Shabbos, and says that this is the Gra Lishitaso, because the Gra holds that all the Takanos of Chazal, even when we think we know the reasons, there are very often many hidden reasons. So we don't say Batal Atam, Batal Adin, even if the reason no longer applies. Like, for example, you have a person who's single, he's not going to be doing an Onas Talmud Chacham on Friday night, he's not married, and nevertheless we still say that the Takana should still be in place, says the Gra. Mishnah Brura writes in Siman Reish Pesiv Katan Aleph that it's a mitzvah to eat garlic on Erev Shabbos or on Lel Shabbos, and Hu Adin Shar Dvarim Amarbim Zera. The same is true of other things that promote Zera, that a person should try to eat such fruits. So says the Gemara, Mai Shov Se Shabbos. What's the reference when we say Shov Se Shabbos? Ilei Mami Mekayim Shabbos. If we're talking about people who are Mekayim Shabbos, it means Shomrei Shabbos, then why does it specifically say you're Asur B'Kutim? You should be Asur with anyone who's Shomer Shabbos, be they Jew, be they Kuti, or be they Ovid Kochavim. If he happens to be Shomer Shabbos, it should be included in the Neder, if that's what it means. Ella Mimitsuvim Ella Shabbos. No, it must mean not people who are Shomer Shabbos, but people who are commanded to keep Shabbos. And that's why a Goy is not included. Frankly, Gemara Ihachi, if that's the case, it's referring to anyone who's commanded to keep Shabbos. Ema Seifa may Oli Yerushalayim Asur B'Yisrael Lamutu B'Kutim. If a person takes a neder, the Seifa says, from people who are Oli Yerushalayim, he's not allowed to get enough from a Jew, but he is from a Kuti. V'amai Havam Tzuvim Ninu. After, why should that be the case? Aren't Kutim also Mitzuva in Aliyah L'Regel? Again, if we're assuming that they're Gerei Emes, that they're Jews, whether they observe it or not, aren't they Mitzuva in Aliyah L'Regel? And if we're talking all about being Mitzuva B'Davar, so Kuti should be included. So when our Mishnah talks about taking the darim from people who do certain mitzvos, it means people who are, it doesn't mean just people who do those mitzvos, nor does it mean people who are just mitzuva in those mitzvos. It means both. People who are both mitzuva in those mitzvos, and they do those mitzvos. Only those are the people that are included in the Nedarim in our Mishnah. B'tarti bavi kamaisa. And therefore, the first two cases of the Mishnah where he took a Nedar from Shov Se Shabbos and from Ochle Shum, Yisrael v'kutim, mitzuvin v'yosin. Both Yisrael and Akuti are commanded in the mitzvah and do it. But of the Chavim, Ha'uda Avdi Yosin Veinu Mitzuvin, but by another Chavim, those that do it are not commanded to do it, they're just doing it, they're just eating garlic, they're just keeping Shabbos, they're not commanded. And when it comes to Bala Yerushalayim, the third example in the Mishnah, Yisrael Mitzuvin V'yosin, Yisrael is commanded and does it, Kutim Mitzuvin V'yenu Nosin. But Kutim, even though they too are commanded in being Ole Regal, but they don't do it. And that's why they're not included in the Neder of Ole Regalim. Now it's interesting that the Gemara originally thought that Shok Se Shabbos means anyone who keeps Shabbos. And the Gemara's problem with that was, then even a guy who keeps Shabbos should automatically be included. The Nidre's reason in Mincha Shlomo asked the obvious question. maybe one could have thought that maybe, why doesn't the Gemara suggest that it does mean only people who actually keep Shabbos, and nevertheless, even a guy who keeps Shabbos would be excluded from the category of people who actually keep Shabbos, because unlike Kutim who keep Shabbos and Yisraelim who keep Shabbos, a guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. The halach is a guy shabbos chayv misa. So maybe when we say mishov se Shabbos, it means people who keep Shabbos and are permitted to keep Shabbos. Why didn't the Gemara think of that possibility? So Mechashlomo writes, so you see from the Gemara that the fact that a guy is chayv misa when he's Shabbos, and that which is considered Shov Se Shabbos are two totally separate things. And if therefore, a person takes a neder from Shov Se Shabbos, a guy would be b'chal neder if he is in fact Shov Se Shabbos, meaning that Shov Se Shabbos apparently b'loshem b'nei Adam doesn't has nothing to do with whether it's mutter for the guy to keep Shabbos or not to keep Shabbos. That's what you have to say. You could also argue there's a major discussion about the issur of a guy to keep Shabbos, because the Mishnah Melech in the Sefer Parashas Turachim raises the suffix whether the Avos, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, had a din of a Yisrael or a din of a Ben Noach. And the Mishnah Melech comes to the conclusion that they themselves didn't know what their din was, whether they had a din of a Yisrael or a din of a Ben Noach. So that begs the obvious question. The Mishnah Melech points out that if they themselves didn't know what their din was, so most dinim they could be machmir. Be machmir that like a Yisrael and be machmir like a Ben Noach. But what do you do about Shabbos? A guy who keeps Shabbos is chayv misa. A Jew who doesn't keep Shabbos is chayv misa. How do they deal with Shabbos? So several achronim suggest, there's several different approaches. One of the approaches that's suggested is that, I think by the Ben Zion, is that the guy shabbos chayv misa is when a guy keeps Shabbos starting daytime, meaning Saturday, day followed by night. A Jew's obligation of Shabbos is the night followed by the day. And therefore, it could be that Shov Se Shabbos, that for a guy to keep our Shabbos would not be a violation of anything, so long as he does malacha on what we would call Motzai Shabbos. So that could very well be why the Gemara assumes that Shov Se Shabbos could include a guy, if we're talking about, if Shov Se Shabbos just means people who keep Shabbos, beheter, because a guy maybe is allowed to keep Shabbos beheter. It's not necessarily so partial that he's not allowed to keep Shabbos beheter. Okay, next Mishnah. Konim sheni nenel b'nei Noach. A guy takes a neder that he's not going to get enough from b'nei Noach. Mutter b'yisrael v'asr b'ovdechavim. He's allowed to get enough from Jews, but not from ovdechavim. Frat the Gemara, Yisrael minafik m'chal ben Noach. Is a Jew not a ben Noach? Do we not descend from Noah? Answers the Gemara, kibun de'ikdash Avram iskaru al shemei. Once Avram Avinu became kadosh, so then we, meaning with kedushas Yisrael, I guess that's also telling you in that Mishnah Melech, whether it's actual kedushas Yisrael or not. But once Avram Avinu had that Kedusha, so now we're called the children of Avram Avinu. We're no longer called the children of Noach. The Teferis Tzion explains, what's the Vart? Why is it that Goyim are called after Noach and Jews are called after Avram Avinu? So he says, because everyone is called based on what they're rooted in, what their foundation is, what their basis is. So all the Goyim, the Yisod is Hanhagas HaTeva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia Teva on them, through the natural world. The pasuk says, "Ufentisa enecha shemayim v'riisa sashevesh v'siyarech v'sakuchavim kol tzva shemayim v'nidachto v'shtachavisalem v'avantem asher cholak Hashem elkechosam l'chol ha'amim tachas kol ha'shemayim." All the constellations, all of nature, all of natural world, that's for kol ha'amim. So b'nei Noach are called by Noach's name, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bris with Noach, that Teva is always going to remain, that the world is never going to move off of its Teva anymore. That's what the pasuk says when Hashem says to Noach, Od kol yimei ha'aretz zera v'kotzir v'kor v'chom v'kayitz v'charev yom v'layla lo yishbosu. Everything is always going to run b'derech ha'teva. So Goyim are called b'nei Noach because Goyim live in a world of Teva, and therefore they're called after the person, the man who represents Teva. But Yisrael, the Jewish people, the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael's Hanhagas Hanes, Ve'eschem lokach Hashem, V'yotzi eschem mikor ha'barzel mimitzrayim li'os lo'am nach lokach Hayom Hazeh. Hashem took us out from the court of Barzal with Nisim and the flows from Mitzrayim, and that's how we define ourselves. And therefore we're called Hashem Avram, who also is Yisod Benisim, as the Pasuk says, Vayotzi also Achutza Vayomer Abetna Hashemayma Usvara Kochav Ma Hashem tells Avram, look at the heavens, count the stars, and Tuchal Usporosam Vayomer Lo Ko Yezaracha, that this is going to be your children are going to be like this. So, and the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram Avinu Me'al Kochos HaTeva, above, beyond the Kochos HaTeva. So the Jewish people are called after Avram Avinu because we go beyond any Teva. So we're not called B'nei Noach. It's an interesting question in Halacha, or in Minag, I guess, whether we're supposed to actually call our children by the names of those who preceded Avram Avinu. Meaning we have a lot of Jewish boys walking around with the name Moshe and Aaron and Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. What about Noach? What about Yefes? Should we be giving those names? So the Tshuva the Ma'bit in Chelek Aleph Simin Reishai and Vav, it's called in the Pesachi Tshuva in Yardei Simin Reish Samachai, that a person should not give their child names from prior to Avram Avinu, like Shem, Adam, Noach, because of our Gemara, that we're not called B'nai Noach, we're called Dafka, the B'nai Avram. And he says someone who's called Yefe, someone like that comes from before Avram, is not Bechlal Misha Amalo B'Torah Vosa Nachas Ruach Liotzro. It's not someone who has a good name. Now the Tshuva's Tshuva Me'ava says that he doesn't think there's any problem with this at all, and he brings a raya. Look at the Amoraim themselves, Rabbi Netanoim, Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes, father's name was Yefes, Akiva ben Mahalalel, father's name was Mahalalel, and Reuven called his ben Abchor, even Reuven called his oldest son Chanoch. Chanoch was a name from Kodem, Matan Torah, is from Kodem Avram Avinu. So in the Tshuvas Yosef Ometz, the Chidos Tshuvas, in Simin Yud Aleph, he was asked about giving one of these names to a child, and he quotes the Tshuva the Ma'bit, and he says the Ma'bit clearly made this up. He clearly didn't have a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim like this. It's not a Chazal anywhere. And he says it's very, very difficult to accept something like this that was just made up by the Ma'bit, and that he didn't have any rayas for, he didn't really have any basis for. And he says the Minig is not like the Ma'bit. We call people by the names. He says Noach, Yefes, Mahalalel. My brother-in-law's name is Noach Yefes. Fine, Talmud Chacham Ben Torah, a wonderful person. It works sometimes. Noach Yefes. So he uses those names. Noach Yefes, Mahalalel, the Chida writes. I haven't heard any Jews named Mahalalel, but still, there would be nothing wrong with it, apparently. Okay, says the Mishnah. Except he might get made fun of in school, but other than that, nothing wrong with it. Says the Mishnah, She'ini nena l'zer Avram, asur b'Yisrael l'mutter rov l'chavim. The person says he's not going to get any anah from Zera Avraham, so then the halacha is that he's also b'Yisrael and he's mutter rov l'chavim, because Zera Avraham doesn't include Goyim. Fractal Gemara, really? Vayikra Yishmael? Didn't Avram Avinu have two sons? He had Yishmael also, not even counting the B'nai Keturah. And says Gemara, Ki bi Yitzchak yukari l'cha zera ksiv. Pasuk says, Ki bi Yitzchak yukari l'cha zera. That the Zera Avram really is Yitzchak. Vayikra Esav. But wait a second, Esav is also Zera Avram. So because even from Yitzchak, even if you're going to say it's limited to Yitzchak, Yitzchak had Esav. And says Gemara, Bi Yitzchak, velo kol Yitzchak. Within Yitzchak we find the Zera Avram, but not everyone that emerges from Yitzchak is necessarily the Zera Avram. There's a machlokas rishonim if a person is also from Gerim when he takes a neder from Zera Avram. The Rush writes that the Gerim are bechlal Zera Avram. They are included. Because the Gemara Chagigah Dav Gimel that Avram Avinu was tchila the Gerim. That's why Hashem says lo yikari ro shimcha Avram v'yishimcha Avraham ki av hamon goyim nisaticha. And the Gemara Brachos Yud Gimel explains that first he was an av he was an av la Aram, and then he became an av l'kala olam. So you see that he was an av for everybody, which means anyone who is megayer from any nation, Avram Avinu. That's even the minhag that they call into the Torah as Ben Avraham. So you see that that's included in Zera Avram. Mimukei Yosef, is cholik on the Rosh. Mukhe Yosef writes that no, Gerim are not bechal Zera Avram, because they're not Zera Avram. They may be called Bnei Avram, but they're not the Zera Avram, because they don't come from his seed. They don't come from the actual Zera of Avram. Now the issue of whether Gerim are included as children of Avram comes up in another place as well. When it comes to bringing Bikurim, whether he's allowed to read the parsha of the Bikurim and say Asher Nishva Hashem Laseis La Avoseinu Velanu, that this is the land Hashem promised to give La Avoseinu. So the Mishnah in the first paragraph of the Bikurim says that a ger is mevi ve'eno kore. He can bring Bikurim, but he cannot read the parsha of Bikurim because he can't say Asher Nishva La Avoseinu. So it's interesting. The Rambam passing is not that way. Sounds like it goes against that Stam Mishnah. The Rambam, fourth paragraph of the Bikurim, writes a ger mevi v'kore, because Avram Avinu is Avram Ongayim. Apparently, the Rambam understands that that Mishnah is going against the drasha that we said before from the Gemara in Chagiga and Brachos in Brachos of Yud Gimel, that Avram Avinu became the Avram Ongayim. Fascinating discussion about the exact nature of the relationship Goyim have with the Avos. So that's the issue of here. It's interesting. We said the Yitzchak v'lo Kol Yitzchak. We said ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazar v'lo Kol Yitzchak. So there's a suffix. What if a person takes a neder from Zera Sara? Is Esav including the neder in the neder or not? Do we say that when it says bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazar, that's only for Avram Avinu? Or the pasuk is bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazar is going on both Avram and Sarah together? So Bnei Esav would not be miuchas after Sari either. The Rav Shlomo Kluger writes in Chachma Shlomo in Parshas Toldos that once Sarah had insisted Garesh as Ben Ha'amah to get rid of Yishmael, she was punished, and Yitzchak therefore had Esav, because as a punishment for Sarah being Megaresh Yishmael from the house. So it could be that Dafka Esav has a special kinship with Sarah. He owes his entire birth to Sarah, so maybe the children of Esav would be included in Zera Sarah, even if they're not included in Zera Avram. Just the pashtus of that pasuk is a phenomenal pasuk. B'Yitzchak Yikari L'Chazara. I once heard a Musar Shmuz to Rabbanim given by Rabbi J.J. Schachter, and he was explaining that that Rabbanim very often are so focused and so busy with so many other people's lives that they ignore their own children, and they don't give enough attention to their own children. And it's important for people to remember that no matter how much work we're doing with all sorts of different people, and no matter how many people we may be reaching in a variety of different ways, that our primary objective, our primary goal, our primary mission is to see to it that our family is okay, and that we're raising our families al derech hayasha, al derech haTorah. Phenomenal insight. He says that's what you see with Avram Avinu. The Rambam says Avram Avinu made tens of thousands of converts. He was going around with a soapbox. The Rambam writes notes of Avodah Zarah, and thousands of people were following him. And what happened to all those people? We don't know, but we do know one thing: Ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazera, that his ultimate legacy was secured through his one child, through Yitzchak. So it's a very, very valuable Musar Shmuz. Reminds me of the interview that was done with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, where they asked him, after all of his life's accomplishments, building a yeshiva from the ground, becoming a Resh Kalil in YU at an extraordinarily young age, his secular education, his genius in Kol HaTorah Kula, his publications, his everything that he did, as winning the Israel Prize, everything. They asked, what was your greatest accomplishment? And he said, my children, my family is my greatest accomplishment. And that's Ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazer. Okay, weiter. Next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Sheini nanam Yisrael. A guy takes a neder, he's not going to get hanoah from a Jew. So lokech biyoso, when he buys anything from another Jew, he has to pay extra for it so that he's not getting any hanoah from it. Umocher b'pachos. And when he sells something to another Jew, he has to sell it for less. She Yisrael nenin li, if he says that the other guy is not allowed to get hanoah from me, lokeach bepachos, then he has to buy things for cheaper so that the other guy is not getting any hanoah from him, because he's getting gypped. The other guy would be getting gypped. Umocher bioser, and he has to sell for more money. You should sell for more money than things actually cost, so you should charge the other guy more money so that the other guy shouldn't be getting any anah from him. The other guy, again, will be getting the raw end of the deal. But, of course, Vein Shomen, though, it's going to be very hard for him to find anyone who's willing to agree to those terms. Would you mind buying something from me? Just pay more than you would pay anywhere else? Or may I buy something from you and pay less than anybody else would be willing to pay? That's obviously not going to work. She'ini nena lehen vehein li yehana lo dechavim. If he took the neder that he shouldn't get anah from them, nor should they get anah from him, then he can't do any business with them. He's going to have to go to another chavim to take his business elsewhere, because either way, someone's going to be getting hana'a from somebody in that situation. So says the Gemara. Now, it's important to know for this Gemara that there are different types of items that can be sold. There's a Zvina Harifa, Zvina Metzia, and Zvina Derami Alape. A Zvina Harifa is an item that's in high demand. The price might be just a regular market price, and it may not go up when the demand rises for some reason. It may be even a regulated price, but if you have something that's in very high demand, there aren't very many of them selling, then when it sells for its normal price, the mocher is doing a favor for the lokeach, because the mocher could find plenty of people who are willing to buy it. The lokeach cannot find too many people who are willing to sell it to him. When you have, that's a zvina harifa. Zvina metzia is regular. That there's pretty much even supply and demand, so no one's doing anybody a particular favor. Then you have zvina derami alape, something that has value, but it's so overstocked, it's so oversupplied, that people are selling it for its market value, but it's very easy to find someone to sell it to you, very hard to find people to buy it. So then it's assumed that the lokeach is being mahane, the mocher, in such a deal. So given that background, says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, lokeach claim in uman levakro, if a person buys a kli from someone who made it in order to examine it to see if it's good, if he wants to buy it, and then he'll pay for it. And then v'nenas biado, the object, some accident happened and the object broke in his hand, it fell out of his hand and broke, let's say chayiv, he has to pay for it because he's like a shoal who's chayiv ba'onsin, he's called anah shalo, he's the one that's getting all the anah right now. So Gemara explains, alma k'savar anah slokeachi, it seems that we're assuming, that Shmuel is assuming, that when you sell an object, the kone is the one that's neh, not the mocher, and therefore kol anah goes to the lokeach when he's chayiv nonsin. So Tanan, the Gemara asks, wait a second, how can Shmuel say that? Doesn't it say in our Mishnah, she'eni nenemi Yisrael, if a guy says that I'm not going to get any anah from another Jew, mocher bepachos, he has to sell at a cheaper price, aval shava b'shava lo, but apparently he can't sell at the regular price, because he's not allowed to get anah from that other Jew. V'anah lokeachi, but if it's the lokeach who gets anah at standard prices, then afilu shava b'shava, and he should even be allowed to sell at the regular price, because after all, it's the lokeach that's the one that's getting anah, it's not the mocher that's getting anah. Says the Gemara, masnisin bezvina derami alape. Our Mishnah is talking about where you have an item that's in very high supply and very low demand, so you could always find another guy to buy it, and therefore the Mishnah says that he could say that he has to sell it at less than its actual value. That's the only way the mocher is not going to be nana, even though there's no one else that's really interested in buying it. But if you were to sell it at market value, the mocher would actually be getting hanah from that, because he finally found someone to buy it from him. And the Gemara says, wait a second, Im Kain, if our Mishnah is talking about something that's in very high supply and low demand, Ema Resha, the Resha of the Mishnah says that if someone takes a neder hanah from the Yisrael, lokeach b'yoser, he has to buy at a higher price than the market value, so that he shouldn't be getting hanah from the seller. But if we're talking about something that no one is interested in buying anyway, there aren't that many people interested in buying anyway, then even if he buys it at its market value, he's not getting hanah. So why does he have to say b'yoser? Va'od eima seifa, and another problem, it says in the seifa of the Mishnah, she'yisrael nen and li, a person who takes a neder that another Jew should not get anah from me, but he's allowed to get anah from them, lokeach bepachos umocher biyoser, sells it for cheaper, buys it for cheaper and sells for more expensive. But vizvina the Rami alape. But if we're talking, the Mishnah is talking about something that is in high supply and low demand, then afilu shava b'shava. Then even if you were selling it for the market value, it would be permissible because the people who are kona are not being nana from him because it's a zvina de rami alape. It's the mocha that's being nana. So the answer to Gemara, seifa bizvina charifa. You have to say that the seifa of the Mishnah is talking about something that's in very high demand and low supply. And such an object, if you sell it at equal value, or market value, the mocher is not getting any anah at all. It's the lokeach that's getting anah, and that's why it's only mutter for him to sell it at more than market value. Frek the Gemara I hachi, that this, if that's true, the Sefer is talking about is vina charifa, lokeach, bipachos, we said he can buy from Yisrael at less than its market value, afilu shava b'shava, in order that Yisrael shouldn't get enough from him, afilu shava b'shava, he should be able to buy it even at equal value, because if it's a zvina charifa, only the kona is getting hana. So if that's the case, even if you buy it at market value, he's not getting hana from him at all. So answers the Gemara, Ella masnisin bezvina mitzah. You have to say that the Mishnah is talking about an average type of item, something that supply and demand is roughly equal. So there are people who are interested in buying it, but not a million, not lots of people. And this mekach is going to sell at its regular value. So both, if that happens, both the mocher and the kona are getting hana. They're both happy that they found each other, and that's why you're not allowed to sell it at its regular value because it's nisra hana. Ude Shmuel, and the din of Shmuel that Mechayev Lokeach in Onsin, even when he just, because Kol Anah Shalo, even when he's just looking at it, when he's just trying to investigate whether he's interested in buying it or not, so that din is Bizvina Charifa. That din is by Zvina Charifa, by something that's in much higher demand. Tanya Kavazi de Shmuel, we have a brisa that goes like Shmuel. Halokeach kelim min hatagor l'shagron lebeis chamav. If a son-in-law buys kelim from a merchant in order to send them to his arusa, va'amar lo, and the chassan says to the merchant, im mekablin el san mimeni ani nosin l'chademehem. If my father-in-law's house, my wife, my kala's house is interested, the members of the family are interested in this gift, then I'll pay you full price for it. But if they're not interested in the gift, then I'm only going to pay you for the value of having them know that I tried to give them a gift, but not the actual value of the gift itself. And you know, I'll give back the gift itself. So what happens if Nentsu Balicha, as he's coming, bringing the kelim to his father-in-law's house, an onus happens and they break? So then he's chayif, because he was the one that was getting all that. No, it was kol anah shelo, he has din of a shoal. But bechazara, if the onus happens on his way back from his father-in-law's house, after his father-in-law said, I don't want this gift, pater, then he's part of meshu kenos hisachar. Because now he's not being kona the kelim, he's returning the kelim, so he's not considered like a lokeach who has a din of a shoal, he has a din of a shomer sachar, and shomer sachar is pater from onus. So the Gemara brings a maisa in order to explain that it's not always true that whenever you're heading back from somewhere, that it's always going to be that you're pater from onsin. Because Ahusaf Sira, there was a certain merchant that would buy animals at a set price and he would bring them to the shuk and sell them there. The Shakal Chamel Zvune, who bought a donkey to sell, Veloizban, and didn't sell on the day that he brought it to the market. Bahadi Tahadir Idnischa Maran, his way back, some onus happened with the donkey and he wasn't able to return it the way he bought it. So Chayvir of Nachman Shlomir, Rav Nachman said he's Chayv to pay, even though the onus happened on the way back. Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman, so Rav asks Rav Nachman, Nansu Balich Chayv B'Chazara Pater. Why should he be Chayv to pay? If the onus happens on the way there, you're Chayv. I thought if the onus happens on the way back, you're Pater. We said before with the gift that the son-in-law is bringing. Amar Lei said, yeah, there's a difference between a son-in-law bringing a gift and a merchant with a donkey. Chazara Divsafsira Halachihi. When the guy is bringing the donkey back, that's the same thing as being on the way there. Dilu Mishkach Lezuni Afilu Abav Debesei. If you would find someone who's would be willing to buy it even by the doorstep of his house, Milo Masmele, don't you think he would sell it to that person right there on the spot? Of course he would sell it. So he's always looking to sell it. Unlike the son-in-law who's just looking to give the gift to his in-laws, this and if they're not interested, he's not giving it to anyone else. This guy is the merchant is certainly willing to sell to whoever's willing to buy it from him. Good. So that is that sugya. Now new Mishnah on Lamed Aleph and Beis. Konim shani nana la reilim. Person says a neder anah from a reilim. Mutter ba'arele Yisraelis. Mutter in non-circumcised Jews, even though arele means non-circumcised people, but it really means goyim. Va'asur b'mulei of the chavim, and therefore the neder is chal on of the chavim who actually have a bris milah, because they still have a din of arele. Shani nene l'molim, if he says that I should get enough from molim, asur ba'arele Yisrael, that includes Jews who are mulim, means includes Jews who do not have a bris milah, umutav b'mulei of the chavim, and it does not include goyim who do have a bris milah. She'ein ha'orla kruya elu l'shem of the chavim. Orla is a name that's given to of the chavim specifically. It's that even though it's a piece of skin, it's a foreskin that the goy may or may not have, and a Jew may have. Generally speaking, it's always a reference to a guy. And we have several psukim that indicate this. And the Rishon and Rachon discuss why we need several psukim, but we do have several. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Ki chala goyim arelim v'chol beis Yisrael arle leiv. So you see, it says, chala goyim arelim. So even though they're obviously not all goyim arelim, some of them are circumcised, but still, they're all called arelim. V'omer, another raya from pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. V'ya plishtia orel azeh. The pasuk says that David HaMelech calls Goliath the Orel. Did David HaMelech check? Did he know if he was an Orel? Didn't matter. He still called him an Orel. And Va'omer, we have another pasuk also in Sefer Shmuel. This is in Shmuel Beis, I believe. Pentis machna benos plishtim, pentaloz na benos arelim. David HaMelech calls the plishtim arelim, even though you can't say about an umah shlema, about an entire nation, that they are definitively all arelim. Again, there's no way he examined every plishti, and yet they're still called arelim, because even though some of them are circumcised, because that's just a name that we call goyim. Rabbos ben Azariah Omer, Mu'usa hi ha'orla. Rabbos ben Azariah says the orla is considered to be disgusting. Shenisganu bar rishayim, that rishayim are degraded by the name Orel. Shenamar ki chala goyim arelim. Rabbi Shmuel Amar gedol mila. Now we're going to have six ways of highlighting how great mila is. So the first is gedol mila shenichrusu ala shalosh esrei brisos, that there are 13 covenants in mila. That 13 times it says the word bris in the parsha of that Hakadosh Baruch Hu commands Avram Avinu about bris mila. The Rambam goes through all of them in the Perush of Mishnayos. If you look in Bereishis Yud Zayin, Pesukim Aleph through Chav Beis. Rabbi Yossi says gedol mila shadochas haShabbos chamura. Mila is so great and so important, such an important mitzvah, that it's even docha Shabbos. If the eighth day of the baby's birth is on Shabbos, so we allow the bris mila to be done on Shabbos. Third item about how great mila is, Rishon Karcha Omer, gedol mila shalonit l'moshe atzadik ala melo sha'a, that Moshe Rabbeinu, for failure to give a bris mila, even for a shah achas, even for a short moment, was about to die because of his failure to give a bris mila. The malach was going to kill him, all because of just one failure to give a bris mila, even though he was Moshe HaTzadik. Very interesting that the Mishnah calls him Moshe HaTzadik over here. We normally don't call him that. We normally call him Moshe Rabbeinu, but over here it calls him Moshe HaTzadik for some reason. A fourth great thing about mila, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, gedola mila shedochas hanegoyin, that even though normally the halacha is one is not allowed to cut off a negat tzara'as, when there's tzara'as on the makam of the arla, then you are allowed to cut it off, to do the bris mila. The bris mila is docha, the isra of cutting off negat tzara'as. That's one of the primary sources for the concept of asei docha lo sasei. Rabbi Omer, gedola mila, Shekala mitzvah shasa Avram Avinu lo nikra shalem ad shemal. Mila so great that all the mitzvahs that Avram Avinu did, he wasn't considered to be a shalem, a complete person, till he had a bris mila. Shnemar salech lefanai ve'yei samim. Hashem says, salech lefanai, do a bris mila, then you will be tamim, then you will be shalem. Dover acher, another thing that's so great about mila, gedola mila, that if not for bris mila, Hashem would not have created the entire world. That's another great thing about Mila. The Ran happens to have another thing. The Ran has another gears over here that Rabbi Omer Gedola Mila Shishkula Kenegav Kol Mitzvah Shemari Neidamar Bris Asher Karas. That Mila is Shakul Kenegav Kol Mitzvah. Mila is the equivalent of all mitzvahs in the Torah. There are a few mitzvahs. There's a Chavrusa Rabbi Razman just pointed out this morning here in Camp Keli to the staff when he was highlighting the importance of the mitzvah tzitzis. He pointed out that Rav Volbi has a sefer called Mitzvos Shkulos, where it goes through, I think, seven different mitzvos that Chazal considered to be shakul keneged kol haTorah kula. So you have Mila, and you have Tzitzis, and you have Talmud Torah keneged kulam. You have all sorts of mitzvos that are in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, mitzvos that are shakul keneged kol haTorah kula. His point was that Tzitzis is the easiest one, because you just put it on in the morning and it just stays there all day. One Katayna Mila is the easiest one, because if a person gets a Mila as a child, so it's just with him the rest of his life. It could be that there's a mitzvah every moment that he's carrying around a bris mila. There's an interesting chakira the Beis Halevi has in his parish in Chumash. Chakira the Rishonim, the Beis Halevi quotes from the Rishonim. If mila is a mila in its own right, or it's a hasaras hachisaron, that the orla is a chisaron, so when you remove the chisaron, you're perfecting yourself, but it's all by removing the negative. Or do we say, no, mila is a positive, it's not just a removal of the negative. So the says Beis Halevi, it's exactly what our mission is telling us. Our mission is telling us that it's both, that after it tells us how disgusting orla is, it goes through gedola hi amila, that mila is so great, to highlight both sides of this. And it says, it's really, the Bala Akeda writes in the Parsha of the Mila, that the Mu'usa, this exact point of our mission, he says, that's what the Pasuk says. His halech lefanai ve'yei tamim means, by doing Mila, you're going to get rid of the Arla, and that way you'll be complete, you'll be okay, you'll be the way I created you. But then, in addition to that, by Mila, you're also going to have a Kedusha and a Maila, that you're going to have a Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And he says that's why there are two elements to Mila, there are two parts to the mitzvah itself. There's the Mila and the Priya. The Mila is the removal of the Arla. The Priya, that's the element of Kedusha that's added when we do the Priya to give that extra level of Kedusha. I mentioned before the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was called Moshe HaTzadik over here, so that idea is discussed by the Ben Yoyada. Why specifically over here he's called Moshe HaTzadik as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so it's a discussion. But we'll stop there, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the Brisa, from the beginning of the Gemara at the Brisa, and Hashem will try to finish the third parak tomorrow.